Well, welcome everyone. This is Duke Clark, and this is my podcast on Stories for Joshua. This is day 28, and the title of today is After Mono. So you have to read the last one, the last episode on day 27 to understand really what that means, but here we go. My throat stopped hurting, my fever was down, but I was still dragging from the mono. School started again, so did football. In the off-season, we had to take a class called PE 101. That's a very innocent name for a very deadly class. It was actually winter conditioning for football players. Invariably, there would be some crazy kid who would sign up thinking, "Ah, this is an easy A." What a joke. We had 20 minutes in the weight room, 20 minutes running agilities in the Coliseum, and then to top it off, we had 20 minutes running up stadium steps. Sometimes people would run up to the top of the steps and at the top just lean over the edge and puke. I kid you not. Sometimes they would throw in an extra session in the wrestling room where we would get in a circle on our knees, put one guy in the middle. Now, we were in t-shirts and shorts at the time. And he had to fight his way out. And believe me, there were no rules as to how he was to do that. This was an incredibly intense session. And needless to say, after one day, all non-football players dropped the course. Some even were smart enough to leave before the class even started once they looked around and saw who was there. Now, I was just coming off a mono, but they didn't want to hear excuses. So when I got behind in one of the drills, they called me out, so to speak. What that meant was that after our hour of conditioning, Coach Gant took all of us that had been called out to the upper deck of the Coliseum, and we had to run sprints. I can't remember how many we ran, but believe me, it was a lot. As we were dying and ready to quit, Coach Gant just says very calmly, now you got to picture Coach Gant was the defensive back coach. He couldn't have been much more than, I don't know, 5'10", 5'11", maybe 170 pounds, I guess, but tough as nails. He was back in the good old boy generation. So he says to us very calmly, "Boys, you can do anything once, just finish." I never forgot that saying, and it is so true. No matter how bad it gets, you can finish. This was a tough time at East Carolina. Counting our freshman coach, our freshman class had four different coaches in 4 years. Coach Bill Kane, our freshman coach, Coach Stasevich, our sophomore coach, Coach Mike McGee, our junior coach, and Coach Sonny Randall, our senior year. Now, these were all head coaches, not position coaches, head coaches. Four head coach changes in 4 years. What a fiasco. Needless to say, we struggled, but we had each other, and that is really what it's all about. I still keep in touch with my roommate, George Henley, after 50 years. I think I mentioned earlier that my first roommate, Mike Aldridge, who was a quarterback with me in high school, the guy I snapped to for those years at Rose High School in Greenville, he slept at home because that was much better for him. So I was by myself for a while. So then George became my roommate for the longest time there in school. We were a tight group, as a lot of football players are with their teammates, but ours was strong because of all the turmoil in the front office. Both Mike McGee and Sonny Randall played in the pros, so we had capable coaches, but it was just a mess. Coach Stasevich, we called him Coach Stas, was a big deal at East Carolina. Earlier, at Lenoir Ryan College, he put together 120 wins with only 32 losses and 7 ties. Yeah, they recorded tie games back then because there was no overtime. From 1962 to 1969, when he came to East Carolina, he had won 50 games and only lost 27 with one tie. And then the wheels fell off, as they say. I think the game just really passed him by, and it was pretty sad. He used to recruit some amazingly tough guys out of the cold fields of Kentucky and West Virginia, who chose to play football rather than work in the coal mines. Being from Greenville, I knew a lot about the players that played at East Carolina. They had a middle linebacker named Harold Glatley from somewhere up in the mountains, can't remember exactly where. He would actually chew tobacco during practice. And occasionally, he was a middle linebacker, so occasionally if he got hit, he'd swallow his chew. And when the Pitt County Fair came to town, he would wrestle a declawed, muzzled bear in a cage and win. I kid you not. As the story goes, to be his friend, you had to trade punches with him. Now, what this meant was that he would stand there, stick out his face, and you could hit him as hard as you could on the jaw. But if you didn't knock him out, then he got a turn. Thank God he graduated before I came to East Carolina. These were the type of guys who played for Coach Stass, and they were no joke. For years before I got to East Carolina, they would be the conference championships in their conference and go to the Tangerine Bowl in Florida, which was in December, and almost always won. The last year of Coach Stass was a sad time to see such a wonderful coach, an individual. Actually, he was a great guy, a very upstanding and a really cool guy. To see this man ridiculed and tossed out just because he stayed too long. All in all, my years at East Carolina were very rewarding, and I never regretted going there. I probably could have played more at Appalachian State or other schools that offered, but East Carolina really was the right fit for me, and I'll talk more about that later.